Oh, two. Okay. All right. Hi, everyone. We'll get started. I'm Jeff Furman, and I'm a program manager on the XAML Designer team, and we focus on delivering XAML design experiences in both Visual Studio and Blend. So when I set up this talk quite some time ago, and then came up with the title and abstract and started to work on it, I realized I started with a daunting task of putting the word awesome in the title, and then having to figure out what that meant when I started to build the demo and the talk. And what I came across as I was going through this was really that awesome apps have a few things. Have a few things in common. Really, these three core components. It really requires, when you're designing an awesome app, a really good organization of your code. From the view models to the view to how all of that code is laid out in your project, it's really important. Second is designing and styling. You want it to look good, and that's what the tooling is here to help you with. So really focusing on using Blend and Visual Studio to build rich apps that take advantage of some of the UX paradigms that are exposed in, let's say, the templates, as well as the design specifications by Windows. And third, that you build, of course, on top of the platform features of whatever your device you're building on. And that's really important, as if you're building on Windows 8, now there are a whole bunch of things that you need to think about up front. For instance, if you're going to develop for a slate, someone could rotate that slate. What happens to your app when you switch between landscape and portrait? Or if you go into snapped or any other view state, as well as if someone switches to high contrast. So really planning for all three of those things is what, to me, made an awesome app. Now then, I had to build one. So as I was at home, I realized that the awesome app that I wanted to build today is called FlixDJ. And for me, I had a problem where a bunch of people came over to my house and we were all going to watch a movie, and then we had to find a movie that all 10 people wanted to see and hadn't already seen and trying to debate. So I just said, let's imagine a world where everyone has a Windows phone. Great, sure, someday. And if you could have a list of movies on the phone that you want to see and always maintain it, then we could have another app that would allow you to select the people in the room and say, here are these six people, what movies do you have in common? And just have them all pop up, and then you could pick one. So that's going to be the app that I focus on today. And really what I want to do is use that simply as a lens to explore the tooling and show off what you can do with Blend and Visual Studio as we just build components of this app. So that will be the focus of this. So let's just jump gears, and I'll show you the app really quick. And let's switch over. So the app has two components, a phone component, and I'll run that first. Let's just run it. And I'm using the Windows 8 emulator. And so as soon as it gets deployed, here we go, the app will launch. And it consists of three pages. So the My Movies page, which just lists all the movies that I want to see, and you can scroll through those, as well as an Add Movie section that I just have defaulting to box office hits, but you could go in and search if you'd like. So I'll just say, let's add Cloud Atlas, and I can slide back over and see that it's added to my list. And then, of course, a third page, if you hadn't specified your name, you could log in. Since I already had it specified, there's no need to log in again. So pretty simple. And I'll exit out of that, and let's switch over to the second component of this. And startup, we'll just run it from here. And so this would be for selecting an app. There it goes. Okay. So three areas. I can see my list and see the movies that I want to see. And then it comes up here with the poster. And if I click the play button, it would play a preview of that. I can slide over to the All Flicks page and see each person, which movies that they wanted to see, and even zoom out if I want. And that's odd. It's not. Huh. Well, now you see it. Okay. Select something, and it will zoom back into there. Sorry, I don't know why it's not refreshing. And then go over to the top picks page. I'll just do that for now. And then I can select a few people. Like, I selected three. Let's do it. There you go. This is going to be an interesting demo, but bear with me. And then select one of these, and you would have seen a really nice animation of this thing sliding up to show who wants to see that particular movie. And if I select another one, well, it's showing on my screen. There you go. It's there. OK. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Let's go back. And I'm not sure. Step back to here. This works right now. OK. So the structure of the app. So when I focused on this, I really wanted to build something. I realized that I had these two components. They had different UX experiences. The phone app had a different experience that I wanted to deliver to customers than the, you know, the Windows 8 application. But they still had a lot of shared code. So I used a portable library, put all the models that I was using into that, and then was able to reference that between the two projects. Of course, from there, I could reference my web services. I go out to Flickster, Netflix, Bing, a bunch of different services to get the data I need. And all that's done from the portable library. And then I'm using Windows Azure to hold that data that's shared between all the users, the different clients. And in doing this, there are two tools that are available, Blend and Visual Studio. And Visual Studio, as you know, is optimized for coding and debugging. And Blend is a tool that's optimized for visual design tasks. And I think optimized is a key word here, because there is a bunch of core overlap. And that's important, because we want to enable a workflow that moves between the two. And while you have Blend to do visual design tasks, there is this overlap in the middle that exists in both products. So we wanted to create a seamless experience as you move between the two products. And that's why you can start in Visual Studio, produce some code, get your model set up, but then if you want to simply go and change a binding in your view, you should be able to do that in Visual Studio without moving to Blend. And as you move to more design-oriented tasks, animation, and things that do take up screen real estate, and we want to specialize the tooling for that, you shouldn't be burdened by some of the other areas as well. There's one other important factor when you build an app, and that's your starting place. Whether it be a sample or a template, we want that new experience, even when you're using the tools, not to just say file new project and leave you with a blank slate. It's really important that you start with something that enables these scenarios. So the project templates in Windows 8 have been reimagined from where they were in WPF and Silverlight in the XAML world to really focus on those three core components. It's organized as a common folder subdirectory that will give you components that you'll need as you build your app. There's great UX built in. In other words, that we handle we meet all the Windows design guidelines. If you go onto the design.windows.com, there's lots and lots of documentation as to where the margin should be and how much padding and everything, and the templates meet that right from the start, as well as feature rich. They support theming, they support your view states, all of that's built in. And so with that, I'm going to just step right into the demo and we'll go from there. If you have any questions throughout, feel free to use the mic, and otherwise we'll have some time at the end. So let's switch back. So let's start right before a demo. Go over the structure a little bit, and I'll show you a few core components. I have this portable library here that's just called Shared right now. And the first thing I did is one of the common components in Windows 8 apps is this bindable base. It's a class that if you create any Windows 8 app, you'll have this common subfolder with a bunch of components, and bindable base is one of them. The first thing I do is I drag that into my portable library. And the only change I need to make is this one line that says web host hidden, which means it can't be used in JavaScript because it's a XAML-only component if you were to use it in a WinRT component library. And, of course, remove that reference to Windows. And once you do that, the class can stay as is in a portable library. And I use this as a base for all my models. One of the things that's really nice is it implements inode for property change. That's all it does. But here I have this person class, and you can see if I open up one of the properties, I have three properties on a person, name, ID, name, and a list of movies they want to see. And I just can use this .NET 4.5 feature, this .set property, and as long as I reference the name, I don't need to pass in the string that corresponds to the property name, which generally can lead to a lot of errors where you change one and not the other, and all of a sudden notifications stop firing. And that's done, I'll just show you, with this attribute that you can set, caller member name, which simply says, if this optional parameter is not specified, fill it in with whatever called that, which is fantastic. So that's one of my models in this shared component. Another one is, let's just say, the movie item. And you can see all of these are, I use the shared data right when I go out to a web service. So I want these to be available to both the phone app and the Windows 8 app. And here I have just a bunch of properties. That's really all it is. I'm using data contract serialization as it comes back, and I parse it from JSON from the various web services. And we'll go look at two other things. This is my phone view model. Right in the phone app, I have one view model here, and I've just used that as a primary view model. And in this view model, I have a bunch of different properties that are exposed, basically the list of my movies, list of all movies, everything there, and I'll move over to the Windows View model, which is pretty much the same. Collections of movies, collections of people, all the things I need to bind to. And in the Windows 8 app, I'm using a view model locator. I'll just show you that quickly. In app.xaml, I have one view model locator here that I initialize, and then that will lazy load my view model so that I have it available to me. And there are a bunch of sessions throughout the conference on portable libraries and MVVM, so I'm going to focus more on designing now. And if you have any questions of those, you know, talk with me afterward. Otherwise, we'll move into design. So the first thing I'm going to do, let's close this finished app. And I, of course, have another version here that is missing a few components. So we'll go through and build various components of the app and show off the tools while we do that. So I'm going to first add a new page to this project. So I will right-click, add new item. And the page I'm going to add is that All Flicks page. So we'll build that shows all the various people and the movies that they want to see. And to do that, it's really just a grid, grouped information, people and movies below it. So as I go down, I have a grouped items page. And I can see a little preview that shows that I have a header and a bunch of items for each person. So I'm going to create one of these, as it already has a lot of the UX that I want. I'll call it the All Flicks page. Type that in. And it gets added to the project. Perfect. I'll actually move it into the Pages folder, just so it's with the others. And now we have it. And already, there's not much going on, and that's because I don't have sample data wired up. But what I do have is a grid view here, and the grid view is bound to data, as well as a back button and title. And given my app, I have a navigation bar at the top, I'm just going to delete these two elements. So I'll hit delete, and it will warn me that they were used in an animation. So one of the nice things is, since they are referenced elsewhere in XAML, it cleaned that up as well, so I don't have build errors as I move forward, or runtime errors, rather. So now let's set the data context. So I can go to the page root, and I'll set the data context for this page, and I have that view model locator. So I can use a static resource and just find view model locator on app. And because it knows what the schema is, I can go over and select my view model and hit OK. And I have that set up. The next thing that I need to do is I'm using a collection view source for all of the grouped data, the movies by person. So if I select the collection view source in XAML, the property inspector over here syncs. So I can then bind the source, and again, I want to just bind that source. I'll bind it to the same resource, the view model locator, and the view model. And this time, I can drill right into a property I want, and I just want all movies by person. That's just an enumerable of groupings. So I'll hit OK, and I have that. And I don't need an items path, so I can just click and reset it. And already, you can see I have some data starting to show up. So I see that, you know, the name isn't really coming through, the images aren't coming through, but I am seeing titles. So that's great. So let's go and fix that. So I'm going to select the grid view. And now that I've selected the grid view, I'm going to go right-click, and I can say Edit Additional Templates, Edit Item Template. And this is defined in standard styles because it's a standard window style. So I'm just going to go and edit a copy so I can pull it out locally. We'll just call this a movie item template. And it will get created in the document. And now I can modify it. So let me zoom in. I can select the item template. And if I go to zoom, I can just say Fit Selection. Automatically zoom that in for me. And I can see that here's the title coming through. There's another text box here, which is bound to subtitle, which I don't have, so I can just delete that. Hit delete. And this is the image that's not bound. So we can just go bind that. So I will go and pull up the source, create a data binding. And I can go in, I see that this is the movie item here, and I just want the poster detail. And actually, because this is in a collection, I can delete the indexer, and there we go. So I got some movies showing up. So now with the image showing up, it's a little stretched, so why don't I go and I'll just fix that, and I can just resize this in, make it look a little bit better. Let's bring it into somewhere around there. That looks good. And now let's back out. And since now I'm currently editing the template, I can hit click here to scope back to the page and exit that template editing mode. Now that I'm on the page, I want to edit this header since the title's not showing through. So I'll right-click. This time, I'm going to go into the group style where the header template is defined, and let's edit a copy of that. And I'll just call this movie item header template. And now that I go in, I can see it's actually a button. And what that chevron is supposed to indicate is that you can click on it. I don't have any behavior when you click on it like the default page does to take you to details, so I'm just going to delete this chevron. And then I can even take this text block, which will be bound to the name, and just drag it outside of the button, since I don't care about the button, and now go delete that. Now let's bind the text block, since it's not actually bound, and right here I want to bind it to name. So I'll just type it, name, and you can see all the names show up. So let's scope out again, and I'm going to zoom out, and if you ever want to zoom to see the entire page, you can hit Control 0, and that will zoom out. So now I see the entire page, and I see I just have sample data being populated right now, but it looks good. So that part's done. Now the next part I had was that semantic zoom. I want the ability to basically pinch out so that you can then select a person and go right to them in case the list gets long. Or, on the other hand, I would also, like with the mouse, there was that little minus sign at the bottom that you can click on to zoom out as well. So let's go and put that in. I'm going to go to the toolbox, and I'll add a semantic zoom control, which is right here. And I want to add it to the grid, so I'm going to make sure I have the grid selected, and then I'll just double-click to add a semantic zoom, and it gets added to the grid. It's a little small, so I'm going to resize it. I'll bring it down, and then slide it into this this secondary row. And if I right-click, I actually went to the grid view. Let's right-click on the semantic zoom. I can go to reset layout, all, and that will fill this space. So now it fills this entire first row. And you'll notice that there are two properties on the semantic zoom, the zoomed out view and the zoomed in view. And by default, we give you a grid view in both of those, as that's the most common pattern that we found. But in this case, I already have my zoomed in view. So I can just go ahead and delete this grid view and just drag this one into it. And we'll just drag them to the zoomed in view. It doesn't look great, so let me go ahead and reset some of the properties. So I can go into the property inspector. Let's open the layout. And I can see that, first of all, it has a fixed width and height. I want those auto, so I'll just reset both of those to auto. And then I need to get rid of this padding down here. So let's go ahead and just, we'll clear the padding, reset, and I'll put a little bit on the left just to bump it in, about 98 or so. And so it's bumped in. And what the padding allows is that there's that default gutter that you want to see on the left, but as you scroll, it'll scroll right through that. Okay, so now that that's set, let's focus on the zoomed in view, the zoomed out view. So I can go and select this other grid view that's in the zoomed out view. And what I want to do here, right now I see nothing. So first I need to bind it to my data. And I'm going to bind it to that same collection view source I had before. So let's go and say, create data binding on this guy. And I'm going to bind to, in the static resource, I want to use the collection view source. So I can go find this document, which is the All Flicks page. There's my collection view source. And by default, it's nice and it shows me the schema of what I want to bind to. But I instead want a property on the collection view source. So I can just type in here collection groups, as I don't want one of the properties on the collection, and hit OK. And now I'll be bound to all of that grouping information. So then if I go and I right click, let's see if I type that right. We should have had some data show up. Collection groups. Yep. Okay. And then, we'll just keep going for now. When I want to edit it, the first thing I'll do is I'll edit the panel. And by default, it just wraps everything. But I don't really want it to wrap because everything should be able to be variable sized. So I want to change that. So I'm going to go to the items panel and we'll edit a copy of this. And instead, I just want a horizontal drawer, horizontal stack panel. Is what I'm going to use. So I can go in, and you see by default it's a wrap grid container. So I'm going to right click on the wrap grid, and I can just say change layout type, and change that to a stack panel. And by default it's going to stack vertically, and I want it to stack horizontally, so I'll go back here to the orientation property, say horizontal, and now I have a stack panel that's horizontal, and I want it to be centered. So we'll just go center, center. And that's it. Now I can back out of there. And the next thing is the item template. And for the item template, I just want to show just the name. So we'll go to that grid view, and I can right-click on it here as well, and say Edit Additional Templates. And for this template, I want the item template, and we'll just create an empty one. And this is just the person item template, as it's going to show those names across the screen. And you can see that, there we go. There's nothing in it right now, just a grid. So instead of just having this grid, I want to just put a text block in it. So I can just double click to put a text block in it. And now that I have the text block, I just want to bind to the group to the key property. So if I go in and I will just bind the text field again, And it should have, somehow it's not set. Well, I'll bind it manually and then go figure out what happened. So I also have IntelliSense. If I type the bracket, I can type binding. Binding comes up, and I know the property is group.key. So we'll just type that, and that's all I need to do. And now we'll just return scope out, and we'll see really quick in the zoomed out view if, I didn't mean to bind the data context. I need to bind the item source. So I'll fix that. And now we see the names pop up. That's much better. Okay, let's go back in, and we'll go into the item template. We'll edit the current one really quick just to fix this. We'll go to the text. I want to make it a little bit bigger, so I can go down to the text property, and let's increase this to, say, 48. There we go. And they're slightly larger. And rather than also template bind, the item container style, because I want to put a nice little border around it, I have one of those already created. So I can just go edit additional templates to my item container style, and there's this apply resources here. And that will show me all the resources that are currently in scope. And since I have one, I can just select it, and it automatically gets applied. So now the main part of the page is done, and I have this zoomed out view, and I can even click on zoomed in view, and it will take and show me the zoomed in view, so I can tool both views in Visual Studio. And it's missing this top command bar. So we'll design that quickly. And the top command bar just had those three buttons to navigate between pages. And so what they really were, since only one can be active at a time, the behavior is nothing other than a radio button. It's just styled differently. So I'm going to go in, and I will create a few rows, because I want three buttons, columns. So I can create these just by clicking on them. And then if I want to specify it, I can go right into this inline editor and just click. And I know that I want them all to be equal. So I just want it one star. I'll go in here, one star. Since I'm making them all the same ratio, they'll all be the same size, make that one star. And now it's done. So let's go and put a radio button in the first one. I'll just scroll up, grab a radio button. I can draw it. And now again, I'm going to hit Control-Shift-R to reset layout, so it just fills that available space. And now that that's there, let's bind it up so we can see some live data while we work with it. I'm going to zoom in a little bit. There we go. And then I can go and I'm going to set the data context. I'm using commands as part of my infrastructure, and I have what I invented, this named relay command that just has a few additional properties on it. So this one is supposed to go to the my list command, so I'm just going to bind the data context to that command, and then I can bind a few properties on that, like is checked. So on this command, I have an is active Boolean, and I want that two-way, and you can see sample data showing through that it is checked. And then I want to bind the name of it. That way I don't have to type it in case I want to change it somewhere else. So I'll go to Content, Create Data Binding, and let's just bind a title. And it shows through. So now I'm bound, and now I want it to make it look nicer. So if I right-click on this, and again I can go to Edit Template and Apply Resource, and this will show me all the resources in scope. All of these resources that you see are coming from standard styles. By default, Windows has a notion that we put into that common subdirectory that's included in every Windows 8 app of some of these styles, including a text radio button style. So if I just select that, you can see that it got rid of the radio button, and now it's just going to change state rather than having the circle and filled or not. It'll change state by color. So if I want to go any further, let's just switch to blend. So I'm going to just save everything that I've done here, save all, and I can right-click on a XAML file, and we'll say open in blend, and it will bring open blend. And I'm switching to blend because I want to do a more involved task. So at this point, I really want to look into the states and start determining for each individual state what color will this be. So as soon as blend opens the project, oops, I opened app.xaml. I meant to open the all flicks page. Okay, so we'll get that open. And then we'll take a look at the template of this text radio button style. And that comes directly from standard styles. And here we go. Switch over to the states pane as soon as it loads. It's taking a second. Oh, should have been a little more patient. There we go. Okay. And I can grab this, and let's go from blend. I can sort of see where I am. At the very top, there's this chain that shows me what scope I'm in. So I'm going to edit, and let's just edit we can just edit the current style. And by editing the current style, it's going to take me into standard styles to make changes there, which is fine. So you can see it opens up standard styles and takes me out of place to this template. But I still have my data flowing through. It still says my list. So I'm going to zoom in. And you can see all of the states. And these are the states that are provided on that style. And it has these check states. So when it's unchecked, checked, and intermediate, you can see the color change. So I can select checked, and let's click on text. And I need to bring back my properties pane. There we go. And I want to change the color. And I happen to know the color, since my developer gave it to me. It's this pink color that I'm using throughout my app. So I can type that in here. And then unchecked, I see that it goes back to this other color. And since I don't really care for this app about any press states or the color changing there, I can click on these other states. I see this little red recording icon which says a property has changed, and there's foreground. And I'll just delete that because I don't want that to change the color. I only want it to change based on the check states. So I'll delete it in all of these cases. Great. And I can back out and back out to the root, to that radio button, which will take me right back to this page. And now I want to have three of these. So if I hold the Alt key while dragging, it'll create a copy of that control. So I can just hit Alt, drag it over to this next column, and now I have a second one. And in this case, all I need to do is change the data context because it's not bound to the MyList page. It's bound to the AllFlix page. So I can create data binding there and grab the AllFlix command instead, and it updates, shows the right text, and I'm done. And I could drag that out a third time. But since this is reusable on every single page, I don't really care to have to build on every page. I have a user control that I've created separately. So I can just go over to Assets, and I'll just fix that up now before we run. And I can delete these guys. Let's just delete it. And then instead, I can go to Project, and I happen to have a command bar control that I'll just insert in that space instead. Is it possible to build the instance of the user control from here? I'll reset this layout quickly. So what you can do when you have a user control is you can always you can right click edit control, which will take you into an editing scope. It'll be out of scope again. It won't be in this document because it's defined in another document. So we want to take you there so you understand that that's where the code's coming from. But then you can edit it from there. What it is telling me right now is I have this warning icon which says I haven't built before. So this control, we're rendering it what we think it will be like, but since it's not built, we're not using the built assemblies. So I'll just build quickly. Start kick off the build. And then we'll run and see where we're at. Build succeeded. Okay, great. Let's just deploy. So it's going to reload the designer. And in the meantime, I kicked off the deploy just a bit too early. Here we go. Launching the app. And I can go over to the AllFlix page. And you see here are the movies that we just built. It's showing through. Or not. Right. Do that little trick. Sorry, guys. And then if I click on Semantic Zoom, well, you would have seen a nice animation as this flows out. You can see it on your own tablets at some other point. Click on a name and refresh for you, and you can see it took me to that. And by providing group.key, which was really nice on that semantic zoom, is when I clicked on something, it took me right to it. I didn't have to specify any logic saying scroll into view or anything like that. It took me right to that name. All right, let's back out of that. So we'll go back to Blend. Okay, and we'll move on to one other section. For this, I want to go back to VS, so I'll go back to VS. Notify may need to reload a few things, so I'll say yes. I can see the new command bar. And now I want to switch to one other page, and we'll move to the top picks page. We'll do a little more designing on this one. So this is that page that had, you could select people on the left, and then it has that user control, that nice one that when you select it has a great animation you can't see of everything sliding up, and we'll design that. So I have all of this provided. I just need to put in that particular user control in the middle. So given that I have a list of these, it's going to be a list of all the movies that people have in common. And the item template that I'm going to be using has some behavior to it. So I'm going to build a user control for that. So I'll just add a user control, add new item, and I will select user control here. And let's just call this, it's really my movie item with details control. I like to be specific. All right. And now that that's created, the data context for this control is going to flow from the particular item that it's bound to in a list, meaning I don't really set a data context on this particular user control, but I still need something when I'm designing it. So we have a concept of design time data context, and that's something that will only run at design time. So if I use this D colon data context, that will be for design time only, I can then say I know where it's coming from. I want an instance to be created of my view model. So I grab the view model, which is this main view model. I say create an instance of it. And I know that this is creatable, so I can say true. And this tells Blend, go ahead and actually instantiate that so we can use it. If I said it's design time creatable false, it's still useful because we can read the schema so that when you're using the binding dialog, we know what properties are available. We just can't actually, you know, instantiate the object. OK, so now that that's set, I'm going to go and let's resize this. We'll just start there. I know that I want a fixed size for this. And I want it to be 300 by 500, and I'm fixing that because that's the size of the posters that I'm going to get back. Again, I'll hit Control 0, zoom right back out so I can see it. And now, on the grid, again, since the data that's going to be flowing is coming from the data context, which will be a specific movie, I'm going to continue that and set a data context here. And I can just grab, I have my picked movies, and I just want the first one. Binding, yes, I need to tell it. There we go. Perfect. OK. Now we're set. So let's go, and I'm going to add a little code first. In this user control, I'm going to have the notion of two states. Either it's selected with a pop-up, or it's unselected without the pop-up. So to do that, I'm going to add a dependency property that will tell this control, depending if it's selected, what state to go into. So I can type propdp and use code snippet. And I want this to be a Boolean, is selected. And the owner class is itself, movie item. And so for the default value, I want it to be false. And then I want to know on selection changed, I need a callback. So I can just type that in. Let's bring that down here. And I don't have this method, so I can go generate the method stub. And now that I have this method stub, I'll just fill it in. So if what I'm getting in is a cast it to Boolean, the new value, which means I am selected, then I want to call visualStateManager.goToState. I need to do that on the dependency object, which I know is one of these guys. And I want to go to the selected state. And I will use transitions. And if not, then I want to go to the unselected state. Unselected. And by default, for now, lots of ways to do this, but I'm just going to call unselected, so I always go into that state when I get created, as this callback won't be called. OK, so we'll close out of that, go back to the designer. And now that I'm here, let's just add a few rows. So I'm going to go ahead and add two rows. And since I'm fixed, well, this says 353 star, I can just click on it and type in, I want this to be 422 pixels. So I'll just type 422px, and that will change for me. And this bottom part, I can also do that. I want it to be the remainder space. So if I click from star to fixed, now this is the remaining space, which happens to be 78 pixels. Now on the top, I want a poster. So now that I want this poster here, let's just go and I will grab an image. I can, there's my image. Drop it in. Again, Control-Shift-R to auto-size it. And let's bind that. So I will go up to the source property, create a data binding. And I happen to have a poster detailed. Click OK. And sure enough, there's the poster. The bottom part has that title. It has a black box, has a title, and the main actor. So in the bottom, since it's two pieces of text that are stacked, I'm going to just throw in a stack panel. So we'll go ahead and do that. Throw in the stack panel. There we go. Reset layout. And in here, it has two pieces of text. In the interest of time, I'm just going to add one of those. So I'll add the first text block. Let's zoom in a bit so we can see it. I'll hold Control and zoom in. One thing that will help is I want that stack panel to have a black background, so brush. I can just click on background, and it'll fill that in for me. And let's bind that. So again, I will take this text and bind to the name of the movie. So I'll just go bind to title. or its title, and I wanted it to be in all caps. So I can use, grab a converter. I don't have one created, but by clicking Add, we'll go through the project system, find all the ones available, and I have this string to uppercase converter. When I click OK, it'll create an instance of that, and then I can use it. And you see there it is, taken two. It's in capital letters. Great. And then I would put another one below it, but we'll skip that for now. And keep going. We'll zoom back out. So now I have this. It's a little wide for that image. So I'm going to grab this image, and I'll just set it to uniform to fill, just so it fills that space like that. And we'll make this text just a little bit bigger while we're at it. So I can go down to this text field down here, layout, text. We'll go up to, like, say, 48. There we go. Okay, perfect. So now what I want to do is add that overlay. So I'm going to switch back to Blend, and I can just, since I have Blend open, switch back, and I'll go open that user control that I created. There's the top picks page. That's what I was working on. Let that open. And, oops, no, I wanted the user control. Oops, ah. So I need to go back. I forgot to save. So it didn't. Let's save all. Return to Blend. Now it'll pick up that I made a change. It was still dirty. Let it reload the project. Take just a second. And then there's the movie item. Open up that user control. All right, so let's create those two states quickly. The first thing I did is I had that circle in the middle, and it has a circle with some text in it. That style already exists in Blend, or in the template, so I'm going to grab that style. And if I just go over to the Resources tab, I can see that as soon as we load. Here we go. If I go to Resources, in one of my styles, I have this play app bar button style. And there are a whole bunch of app bars that you can use from your project. All of those are defined in standard styles. And by default, they're commented out for performance reasons, because you don't want to load 170-some styles that you're never going to use. So when you start using them, you can uncomment them. So I have this one here. And all I've done is put a 2.5 times transform on it to make it a little bit bigger. I'll just put it right in the middle of my page. And we'll reset that just to make it be perfectly centered. So I'll reset layout, and I have some margins, or center it. So center, bring it right back. And instead of this play button, I actually want just some text. I want it to be bound to whatever percentage of the people chose it. So I can go to content, again, back to create data binding, percent who picked this movie, hit OK, and now that's bound. So now that that part is done, I want to add this overlay that moves. So I'm going to turn this off, and just at design time, I can turn off both the image and the poster, just so that I can design this overlay without having that in the background. So we'll go in, switch to assets, and I want to grab a stack panel. I'll throw a stack panel in there. We can let that fill again. And now that I have a stack panel, I'm going to want to say, have some text at the top. So I'll add a text block. Add the text block, and it's going to say the people who like these. So how about Flicks, DJs who match? I can just type that in. And then I want to use the same selection color I'm using elsewhere. So I have a resource. I can click on Color Resources, select that resource, and then make it a little bit bigger. So let's go ahead and make it, say, 25. And I don't want it all that far over against the edge. So I can just click on the left edge and just drag, just move it in until where it looks about right, somewhere about there. So now that I have that below it, I wanted a list of all the people. And I can just grab a list view. Oops. Let's grab a list view, and I'll just throw it in below. Let it fill the space. Again, I can just reset everything. And then bind it to the people who wanted to see this movie, people who liked the movie, which shows up. I don't have a template defined, and I happen to have one. I use that same template, if you remember, in the top picks page to show these people, and I just want to use that again. So I can go back, and I can see that this resource, oops, I'm sorry, in top picks page, that this resource here, this person item container style, this person item template is actually defined in this page. So I can just drag it up, because I want it to be common and shared, into the Flicks DJ style. So now that that's shared, and there we are. Go back to this tab. And now I can just apply. We can right click, edit templates, and we'll edit this item template, apply resource, and now I have this person item template, and it shows people. Done. Okay, So now I have this overlay, and to really make it an overlay, and I'll name it as such, I want to give it a background. We'll make it black, and we'll give it some opacity, so 75%. So now that I have that, we're going to go ahead and add some states. So I'll go into states, and I need to add those two states that I added in CodeBehind, a selected state and an unselected state. Unselected. And the first thing I know, and I'll turn these back on so I can see them again, is that when I'm in the selected state, I want this overlay to pop in. And Windows 8 has a bunch of default theme animations. So I can select this storyboard, go over to theme animation, and I'm just going to add a pop in. And I'll select the overlay. So now it'll just pop in this state. And of course, in unselected, I want it gone. So I'm going to add a pop out. And I want it to pop out. And you can see there it is. And if I turn on theme animations, you can see it work. It's a little bit quick, but you can see that animation there working. I also want a transition. I want that circle to slide up to the top. This was, I guess, the animation you didn't see. So the circle slides up to the top, and then the text is below it. So I can just add here a transition. When I go from unselected to selected, now I have this transition here, and I want this circle to move up. So let's go and make it a little bit easier for me. I'll give some more real estate. And I want this to happen about, let's see, half a second. And I don't care about the overlay. I don't care about the image. Just this guy. And I just want to drag it up. So I can drag it up to where it looks good. I'm holding shift to make sure it stays in the vertical alignment. It got to the top. And now, if I scroll down, I can see that what it's done, I'll go into transform, is it has put a Y transform, 121 pixels, it's moved it up. So I know in the selected state, I want it to always be there. So let's go to selected. I don't want it to just drop back down. And I'll just put that same value in. Oops. Nope. There we go. And now, when I go selected to selected, you can see it run, and it slides right up. And that's exactly what I want. So, perfect. And then, the only problem I have now is that this overlay is a little too high. So I'm going to click on it, and I'll turn off recording mode, since I don't want to change anything in that particular state only. Oops, I only want the text block selected. And let's just put a top margin on it, and I'll just click and drag again to just bring it right below. Oh, there we go, just like that. All right, so now I have this all set. We can watch it run. When I go unselected to selected, it goes up, and then that pops in. Perfect. So now let's go use this control quickly. So I'll switch over to the top pics page. And in the top pics page, I have a grid view. I have this space here. I'm going to add a grid view. We'll just add that very quickly. Oops, grid view. There we are. Throw it in there. And I'll resize it. Make it look better. And now the item template for this is going to be that user control, and it's going to be bound to the picked movies. So I'll create the data binding here, and we'll go in and select pick movies. So now it comes through, and you see just the ugly string representation of all of them. And I could go ahead, and we'll edit the additional templates. We'll go into the item template, we'll create an empty one. I'll just call this my movie item template. Hit OK. And in this grid, I want to have that user control. So the first thing I'm going to do, I'll clear this. I'll build quickly, since I just added the type, and I want to make sure that Blend understands that type. Let it build. And then, did I accidentally type? Ah, right. I meant to type this in the constructor. OK. Let's go out, try it once again. We'll build. And as soon as that finishes, we'll see it show up here, and then I can just drag it in. Give it a second. Excellent. And now it reloads. What we're doing is, in this reload process, we run in a separate process, all of this, because this is a Windows 8 app. So it runs in a separate isolated process in case anything goes wrong, as well as so it can register itself with Windows. So anytime you build, we're basically redeploying that same package, just as we would at runtime, reloading our process, and so that then you actually have the real app. And then here it is, this movie item. So I can just double click to add it. And there they go. They all show up. So that's exactly what I want there. And now the only thing I need to do is bind that selected item, that basically that property I added. So if I just scroll down, it's just in miscellaneous. I didn't categorize it. I have isSelected, which is that dependency property I added. And I just want to bind that. And I want to bind it to, I have this show details property that's available. Make it two-way binding. Hit OK. Now that's bound. And you can drop back out. And we're all set. So, and I can show it running, although you won't see the animation. So it was better at design time. So let's focus on one last thing. About one last thing, I want to go back to the AllFlix page that I added and talk a little bit about layout awareness. So when I go into this page, and I'll zoom out to show it, we have the device panel. And the device panel allows you to simulate properties of the operating system or the orientation of the device at design time. And I can switch, and I see if I switch to filled, see what happens, and these get a little squished. If I switch to snapped, it gets even worse. But you can see that already by using the item template I started with, it switched out to use a list view instead of a grid view. And all I'd have to do in this list view here is go ahead and change, you know, that the poster just like we did earlier, bind it to a different property, bind the title, exactly the same mechanism before, and now it looks acceptable in this, it meets the guidelines when I'm in snapped. The only thing that doesn't is this control. And this control that I added, this command bar control, does have a few states. It has all of the appropriate layout states, but because I wanted to illustrate it, it doesn't call, you know, go to state. It doesn't listen for all those layout operations. I only really want the page to listen for the layout operations. So what you can do on this control, because I'm using this layout aware page, let's get rid of this guy, I can select the control and I can add two events to it. I can say when it's loaded, I can just say start layout updates, and it's going to create it for me. Which I can actually delete because it's defined in layout aware page. I'll show you that afterward. And then come back, and I would also write in on unloaded, stop layout updates, and add it. And again, I don't mean to override it. We leave these so that you can override them if you want to. And then all I have to do there is now when I run this, it'll switch. So I'll go back to Visual Studio, show you what that's doing quickly. And if I go into layout aware page, which is the root of that page, open it up, I can go to the start layout updates. And this just basically allows me to register a control, and it adds it to this collection of layout aware controls and says, when I notice a window size changed event, call go to state on all of those controls. And it will go through, and it will loop through and call it on every single one. And that happens when you invalidate the visual state. When the window changes, you can see I loop through everything in that collection and call go to state. And you can override it just like you can override the invalidate name to determine what name you want to give it if you don't want to stick with snapped, all of the default names of the enumeration in Windows. And so we'll go back and let's just run this quickly. There we go. Let it pop back up. And we'll go to this AllFlix page. And I'm going to put this in snap. So I can hit Windows period to put into snap view. Oops. Well, and it didn't. Well, that it didn't change. Oh, well. Let's. What was that? I'm sorry? Yeah. I can go fix that really quick. Pages, thank you. AllFlix page, and we'll just go and change the command bar, which is right there. Oh, I didn't save it. That would explain it. Well, I'll just show the loaded state here really quick. So loaded, I can just do start, layout, updates. And you want to use unloaded as well so that you don't leak any of these. This creates a reference. Just interest of time, I won't add it. Let it run. Switch over. All right, here we go. Windows period. Well, so be it. I'll show you what that does instead really quick, and then you can we'll take it. Here's a command bar. And if we open up, the device pane's also available in Visual Studio. You can see I have these three. The background I could change. So let's just really quick put a background on here so we can see what's going on. And then if I switch to snapped, it doesn't have it defined. So, all right. Oh, well. One last thing is switching to the phone app. If I open up the phone app, I will let it load. We also have the device pane available. So this is brand new for Windows Phone 8. With Windows Phone 8, we support multiple resolutions, and we also support the same thing you did before with orientation. So while you could change the orientation and the theme, we've added device size to that. So you can really focus on, for your particular UI, the display, recognizing that you need to support basically WVGA, VGA at different orientations. And you can switch to see what happens when, let's say, I switch to the 720p for my phone. I'll zoom out. Let's fit all. There we go. That it just adds extra real estate at the bottom, and then I could design for that. So you can switch resolutions. And really, that's, I think I'm going to switch to questions now. I'll go back just so you guys have my contact information. Again, 3 points, but I think it demonstrated all three of those. If you have any questions, let me know. And with that, yeah, I'll stop there. Thanks. If you want to go to the mic, that'd be great. Otherwise, I can repeat the questions too. But anyway. Or not. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone.